Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of Podcast to Be Named Later, the official podcast of OutfieldFlyRule.com. I'm Brent Blackwell, today with TJ Alexander.
Hey.
I'm actually Brent Blackwell every day. I worded that oddly, but I'm here today with TJ, so.
Well, since our last podcast, the Braves have won a game, so that's neat.
Yay.
We did play in several others as well, but Braves took one from former Braves pitcher Alex Wood in the Dodgers series, where even despite hitting him hard, it still feels like we lost the top end of that trade with Oliveira on the restricted list and whatnot. So it wasn't really... the whole thing felt bittersweet beating him like that, because he's a guy I'd much rather have right now.
He didn't look good, though.
No.
That day.
On the Thursday noon game against the Dodgers, which I went to, Matt Whistler looked very good, I thought. Matt Whistler has looked pretty good so far this year. So he was sort of my preseason rotation pick to maybe turn a corner this year, and I'm still seeing enough where it might happen. So
yeah.
All right. Let's see. Anything else from the past week that we want to talk about?
Beckham on the DL. That's recent, right?
Yeah. So that since the last podcast, we've had a series of transactions, and let me pull those up. So it started with Gordon Beckham going on the disabled list, which of course had to happen just as he was surprisingly one of the best players on the team.
He was our second best hitter.
Yeah. So he had a strained left hamstring. That actually happened a week ago, the day we recorded the last one.
Right.
So we called up Ryan Weber. Did Ryan Weber pitch for us?
Yes.
Did he pitch well?
Yes.
Ryan Weber, 2 games. Picked up a win, 5 2/3 innings. A lot of strikeouts, not many walks. 6.35 ERA, but I'm glad to see the strikeouts carried over. Last year he had those 2 starts where he really struck out a lot of people.
Weber, you don't know?
Yeah, Ryan Weber.
Yeah. So, he must have had just one, because I know he had one great outing. ERA when you only pitch 6 innings is useless.
Right, yeah, I know. Well, didn't have much time to see if he would... Oh, wait, no, he's still up.
He's still up.
He is still up.
We sent down.
I was getting him mixed up with Kelly.
Okay.
So, we called up Ryan Weber to take Beckham's spot on the roster, which more pitching right now is probably what we need. On April 20th, they optioned Williams Perez to AAA Gwinnett, which is unsurprising given how his season had begun.
Right.
And they called up Casey Kelly. That's who I was asking.
Gwinnett.
Yes.
And they also called up...
So let's finish this out. 2 days after that, they took Joel De La Cruz off the 40-man roster. The day after that, they called up Matt Marksberry from AA Mississippi. And at that point, they sent Casey Kelly back to AAA. So they...
Right.
Yeah. And then a day later, they put Marksberry back in AAA to bring up Aaron Blair.
Right.
Yeah, I asked about Weber, and I meant Kelly. Kelly's the one I was curious about if he pitched. He pitched 3 innings in 1 game.
Did Marksberry?
And he pitched well.
Make it to the stadium?
He must have. He got 2 outs.
Okay.
One game. Yeah, they were...
Good for him.
One of them was a strikeout. He also gave up 1 hit. And 1 run.
You stopped in Atlanta on the way to Gwinnett from Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a couple of outs.
Yeah.
Keep on moving.
So a lot of pitchers have been shuffled in and out of the roster.
That's gonna happen all year. Just I feel like a constant rotation of bullpen arms coming in and coming out, depending on how many are arrested. Because we're going to need them all year.
The main reason to even make note of these guys is for our end of the year, true or false, this guy played for the Braves quiz.
Right.
And Matt Marksberry
played
for the Braves, and Casey Kelly has played for the Braves. All right. The big one, though, out of all that is Aaron Blair, who started on Sunday and looked pretty good, I thought.
He did. We touched on this some in the starting pitching podcast, but he's a broadcasters compared him to I can't remember his name now. Cy Young winner from Arizona,
Brandon Webb.
Yeah, No, I kind of like that. It's not horrible. Brandon Webb was dominant for a couple of years. But yeah, Aaron Blair's tall, right-hander, ground ball pitcher.
Yeah, the ground balls are why the comparison is easy. He's got a good sinker. Apparently he hits 96 on the gun at times, but I don't think he did Sunday.
His opening pitch was at 90, I just noticed when we were watching that replay just now.
Yeah, and I saw him at 91, maybe 92 once or twice, but
he's a big guy. It wouldn't surprise me.
And for the most part, he had some opening jitters. I think there were some pitches that sailed and flew out of the zone wildly, but for the most part, I liked his command. I thought he stayed at the fringes of the strike zone, which is tough to do. And that's the other thing I've noticed about Whistler this year so far is I think he's done a better job
staying
out of the middle. So I think Blair may be here to stay because
we waited till now to call him up. You were telling me a little bit about that earlier. You want to explain that again?
So if Aaron Blair had made the team out of spring training, he would have and stayed with the Braves, much the way that Jason Hayward did when Jason Hayward was a rookie. The Braves would have had control of Blair for 2016, 2017, 18, 19, 20, and 2021. And then after the 2021 season, Aaron Blair would have been a free agent. By waiting 3 weeks into a meaningless season where we're not going to win games, the Braves now will be able to control Blair through the 2022 season if he stays and starts from here on out. Right. It has to do with arbitration and service time and the rules of free agency. And this got a lot more attention last year when the Cubs did the same thing with Chris Bryant.
Right.
But you can't fault teams. I mean, don't blame teams for doing...
Change the rules.
Yes, change the rules if you don't like it.
There's really no reason ever to bring up a rookie until today.
Right.
If you think he's going to be around.
If you think he's more valuable to you 6 years from now than he is now, which is the case for most very good rookies, that's right. There's no reason to do that. Unless you're a team with gobs of money. Then you don't have to worry about it. I doubt the Yankees would worry as much about it because the Yankees are more starved for wins and something right now. I think there's a good chance that he could stick with the Major League rotation for this season. Coming into the year, I thought that he was a guy that could be a pitcher this year for us on a regular basis. And so did Jervis. He thought Blair might make the team out of spring training, but I'm kind of glad he didn't.
He was always the one that, once all those trades got done, I mean, he was the one you immediately almost said, like, he's ready now. I mean, there's a chance he has a better year than Shelby Miller. Me and you were talking about that.
Yes.
We got the news he got called up. That trade could just be, it could be bad for them this year.
He's already had the best start that either of them has had this year.
Correct.
Because I was looking at Milton Miller, it's been rough.
Yeah.
Rough all year.
Weird injuries. And then they put him in, they Roy Oswalded him yesterday. Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
Put him in left for a batter.
Oh, I see. I heard about that. Yeah. That's...
It's just like, oh, why don't do that to somebody who's starting like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
My God, poor guy. He broke his hand on the mound. Or not broke it, but scraped his knuckles up.
Yeah.
He's been horrible. And last year he was great, but had no run support. Like, his head has to be just not in a good way. Right now, mine wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, Blair, you have to be encouraged with Blair because he had a good debut yesterday despite having Pierzynski behind the plate. Because, especially a guy who's living on the fringe of the strike zone right there, Tyler Flowers would probably steal him a bunch of strikes.
Yeah.
And he also had what is right now not a great infield defense with Adonis Garcia. He had Kelly Johnson at second, which is not our best defensive second baseman. Our best defensive second baseman was in left field.
Yeah, I didn't understand that move.
No. I mean, Jay said that great slide and catch. I mean, he could have...
Pretty anecdotal, though.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know why Garcia wouldn't have been out there and Jace at third, or Kelly at third and Jason second.
Right. Yeah,
The teams are putting Shelby Miller in left field. We can put Adonis Garcia in left field for multiple batters.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. Unless we're trying to make him a third baseman. That's the only thing. Like, if we're like, he's our third baseman for the next couple of years.
Did you notice was Ibar? We just went through and watched
Castro.
We went through and watched the replay, but we only watched Aaron Blair's. So we only watched the top halves of innings because we didn't want to watch this offense today. We wanted to be in a fairly good mood.
Castro's been playing the past few games at short. Bad second.
Okay.
He started in this game for sure.
Okay. So Kelly Johnson was at second.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if...
Ground ball pitcher with a pretty bad infield defensively.
Right. And he's still got at least three double plays. And that's great.
Turned one himself, looked good. He filled it off the mound really well in the game, mm-hmm. It looked like.
Yeah, there's a lot
very to calm.
A lot to like. There's hasn't been much this season to get excited about. There was Daniel Winkler, and that ended
quickly,
pretty much the worst way.
Yeah.
And I mean, even on offense, it's like Nick Markakis, you don't really get excited over. He's just had some doubles. And Adonis Garcia has been our second best player on offense, which is not. Our third best hitter has been Tyler Flowers, who continues to be, you know,
not
held out of the lineup for AJ, who continues to be not very good. Freddie Freeman's still not really getting it going.
No. He's getting on base fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. I'm not worried about him.
Right, he will be. It's just we could really use something good right now, right. Freddie.
Yeah, Adonis has looked good so far this year though. He also has one of our three home runs.
Yeah. That was opening day.
Yep.
So is Freddie's. Max Scherzer has given up 2/3 of Braves home runs this year.
And I bet nobody can name the third guy.
Drew Stubbs.
Drew Stubbs, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious who, yeah. That one was early, too. We'll get to home runs. Actually, I guess we're almost there, aren't we? To the
We can segue on in.
Aaron Blair. Yeah, okay. That's a good segue. Yeah. Braves have not hit many home runs this year. We've went, 13 straight games without one?
13, yes.
13 straight games without a home run.
Pointed out to us on the OFR Facebook group by, who shared that?
I believe Rob Porter came up with first, but I'm going to go on there and pull some of this info out because, okay, so first was from Rob Porter, and let's see where is it? Okay, yes, we've gone 13 straight games without a home run, which is tied for the second worst streak in Braves history. Tied with the 1983 Braves. One game behind the 1970 Braves, which would be a streak of 14 games would be tied for the 11th worst streak. Okay, the 1979 Houston Astros went 20 straight games without a home run. They did win 9 of those 20 games, though, so they made do. The 1991 Cardinals and the 1976 California Angels each had streaks of 18 games. They went a combined 19 and 17 in those games.
Nice.
The 80 Mets and the 76 Padres had streaks of 17, where they had much less luck. They went 8 and 26 over those 34 games. The 1968 Houston Astros had 16 straight games without a homer. The 83 Mariners, the 81 Padres, the 79 Astros again? Ooh, team did not hit many home runs. But, get this. So the Astros, the 79 Astros in their streak of 15 went 11-4 in their 15 games without a home run. So we may have to look at that team a little more later. But the 78 Cubs also went 15 without.
Okay.
So if we go one more, if we don't homer today, we play today, right? We play the Red Sox. We got a 4-game set with it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No. We definitely have a 4-game set with the Red Sox, and it wouldn't go into Friday. So, yes, we play today. If we don't homer today against the Red Sox, we will be tied for the 11th longest streak in history at 14. We will tie the Braves record set in 19. Okay, this is also not in history. This is in the expansion era.
Yes. Of course, yeah. Sorry, we should have said.
1962 is the start point on this.
Teams went seasons, I'm sure.
The 1800s.
Right.
Yeah. So like
15 home runs hit in the National League in 1911 or something.
Right. So it's, yeah, I should not have said history. These are significant streaks in the expansion era. Okay. So we thought this would be a fun. Actually, I'm curious. I want to see what this year's streak. I want to see if there's anything. We are 4-9 over the course of this streak of 13 games. Here are the opposing starters, just out of curiosity, for the 13 games where we have not homered. So, in some cases, we've got a pretty good excuse. We've got Max Scherzer, Gio Gonzalez, Tanner Roark, who apparently struck out 15 batters this weekend.
Yeah, he had a great game this weekend.
Steven Strasburg, Wei-Yin Chen, Tom Kohler, Jared Cozart, Alex Wood. The Dodgers started Stripling on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw, Matt Harvey, Steven Matz, and Jacob deGrom. So,
yeah.
You know, we've had a rough slate of opposing starters to face. So, you know, it's not that bad. But I don't know. I don't know that another team with a similar streak would have a worse, tougher opponents to face than we have. I mean,
right.
Harvey, Kershaw, and Scherzer alone is almost a quarter of the games. So,
right.
Okay. So we thought we would do a fun little draft because we didn't have much to talk about this week. So this is a fun time waster. Okay. This is a draft of players that we would take off the 1970 Braves, who had the streak of 14 straight games without a homer. The 1983 Braves, the other team that had a streak of 13 games, and the 2016 Braves. And we are drafting for players for a fictional, in our minds, imaginary home run derby. And the draft ends when we are no longer convinced that a player could get one home run with 10 swings of the bat. So,
which we've seen in some home run derbies is not like a gimme.
Mike Piazza, notoriously in the 90s, offered a couple. He was in two. And
I was trying to think. 83 is pretty easy. I think I know who I want to draft off 83. I don't think there's many options there. I know that team okay.
I think I know my answer on that one before I pull it up, but we'll see.
So I don't really need that. I'm going to close it out. I'll leave it up just in case we want to make fun of the powerless 83 Braves later. But I got two I'm sure of.
All right. So we are drafting them there. They are in that year. So not like, you know, you're not just drafting. Let's think. If Troy Gloss were on this Braves team, we would have to be taking 2016 Troy Gloss. Not any Troy Gloss. I had the first pick in our preseason draft, so you can have the first pick in this draft.
First pick should be pretty easy. I'm checking on the. Am I actually going to look at the 83 team? Make sure my. I'm not overconfident on that. I'll take Hank Aaron with number one overall pick from the 1970 Braves.
Okay. TJ. Brandt. All right, TJ takes 1970 Aaron. Mm-hmm. Who hit 38 home runs that year.
Nobody's getting close to that on our team this year.
No, they're not. He's 36 years old, Hank Aaron was in 1970. 38 home runs, 118 RBIs. Good pick. Hank Aaron, pretty good at hitting home runs.
So I hear.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly might take 1983 Hank Aaron, even though he was like 47 and not playing. No. Maybe 13 years, even 51-year-old. Yeah, I think. Also, don't worry about lefty righty. We're playing in a neutral ballpark for this
pitching machine.
Yeah. Oh. Well, whatever I do here, you're gonna have an easy pick, and then it's gonna get tougher for me, I think. But I'm going with 83 Dale Murphy to represent me in the home run derby.
So there's somebody I really want.
Dale.
There's a couple of players I really want that I don't want to reach for, but what's Dell's line in 83 looking like?
Dell was a 30-30 player that year. He hit 36 homers, stole 30 bases, only got caught four times.
God.
Scored 131 runs, drove in 121, and walked 90 times. I mean, it was a great, great season for Dale.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, wait, it's me again.
Oh, yeah, we're snaking.
Yeah, it's snakes. That makes this easy because I still get him towards the end of his prime. 1970, Orlando Cepeda.
Yeah, that's a good one.
First baseman. The Baby Bull. Is that his old nickname?
Mm-hmm.
The Baby Bull. Cha-cha. Let's see. He had a good year that year. I didn't realize he had that good of a year in Atlanta.
Year.
34 homers.
About over 300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got no MVP votes that year. Come on.
This could be, and I really don't want to. Well, I get two here. Don't know. And you're going to get two.
Yeah. We're all taking two from here on out.
All right. I'm going to take 1970. Rico Cardi.
70 Cardi.
Only hit 25 bombs, but he's going to make solid contact that year.
Oh, yeah. He was locked in. He's a good player that year.
Then I'm going to go ahead and reach because I'm scared that you'll take him, and I really want him. I want 1983 Horner. I think he might win the home run derby.
I didn't know this about Rico Cardi. His nickname was Big Boy.
Big Boy?
Big Boy. B-E-E-G.
Big Boy.
Which I'm sure was like a slightly racist thing about the way he spoke because he was Dominican.
Yes.
But, yeah, he was certainly big. I never realized... 6'3", big tall guy. I never realized... I guess I'd always not taken a closer look at his game. I knew he won the batting title in 70 and was, an MVP... an all-star consideration that year.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'd always had in my mind that he was faster than he was. Like, if you had asked me how many steals Cardi may have had in 70, I might have guessed 20. And he stole 21 in his career.
Oh, so, well.
Yeah. For some reason, I just had him as a different type of player. I think maybe that I've always blurred, because I'm not old enough to remember them, I've always blurred Rico Cardi with Ralph Garr in different ways a little bit.
I did.
Okay, so your second pick was from 83, and it was who?
Horner.
Oh, Bob Horner. Yeah, that's a solid pick. Horner could always hit home runs. He didn't play as much that year either. He hit 20 homers and only 439 plate appearances.
Right.
Killed it.
Yep.
All right. Well, now I have to pick someone. I feel like I'm already going to get stupid. No, I'm going to go with Chris Chambliss from 83. Chris Chambliss was a good power hitter for a few years.
Yeah.
I don't mind that one. Also, he had a career as a batting coach, I believe. So, I think. So, I don't know. Maybe he knows a little something about it. Huh. After that. Yeah, it's not looking great. I think I know who I'm
going to... There would be some severe point penalty for drafting a player who fails to hit a home run into the bats. We don't have to make that up, but remember that.
Okay.
Because I'm getting close.
I feel like I could keep... maybe keep going. I don't know anything about this guy. This is how sad this game is going to be, though, because I'm having to maybe draft a guy I've never heard of before. But I am. That year he was locked in off the bench. I'm taking 1970 backup catcher Hal King.
Hal King.
Hal the home run king. Who hit 11 home runs in 239 plate appearances. He had an isolated power of over 200 that year. So, I'll take it.
All right.
11 homers. And, yeah.
You got to pick somebody else, don't
you? No, that's Chambliss. Okay. Chambliss.
Okay, I'm going...
We should have to do at least eight each.
I'm going to that. I think I can get to eight. Yeah. I'm going to the new team now. Finally.
Oh, hang on. I'm just curious on who Hal King is. If he ever did anything else. Hal King in his career. Oh, great. Baseball Reference lists him as catcher and pinch hitter. Like, they list that as a position. That's what he was known as. Hit 24 career home runs. 11 of them.
That year.
As a backup for the Braves that year.
Nice.
The only full season in which he batted over 207.
Nice. I'm going to take 2016.
Oh!
Adonis Garcia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's definitely the number one pick on this team for this game.
He does lead the team with one home runs.
But I'm going to reach here for the next one. Somebody who has yet to hit a home run for this team. I'm going to go ahead and draft. I'm going to draft Jeff Francoeur
here. Oh, yeah, for a derby?
Yeah, for a derby.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, he can definitely get me one, and that's kind of the game I'm playing now. Can you get me one?
Right.
Hit me one home run.
Hit me one home run.
Right.
Yeah, that's not bad. You also have to think that as long as pitchers aren't trying to strike these guys out.
Right, if they're not throwing sliders away.
Yeah.
Francoeur swings for the fences, man.
Yeah, I think in that case, I might actually go... Yeah, I gotta go with Freeman. Go ahead and get Freddie Freeman. Yeah. I think he could hit me one.
He could.
And I'm tempted to go Tyler Flowers. But there's somebody else I had spotted that I kind of wanted. And it's, 1970 Cleet Boyer, third baseman. He had a good career. He wasn't a bad player. He had a little pop. He had 16 homers that year. Not a lot, but he could get me one. Cleet Boyer. Let's pull up his page while you're deciding.
Oh, this is hard.
Let's see. Cleet Boyer, brother of Cloyd Boyer. I knew he was brother. I knew he was Ken Boyer's brother. I didn't know there was a Cloyd Boyer. Yeah, he had 162 career home runs. Cleet did. Not bad. He was won a gold glove. Got MVP votes as a Brave in 1967.
Nice.
By the way, the center fielder on the 1970 Braves, Tony Gonzalez. Which makes him the worst Tony Gonzalez ever in Atlanta sports history.
I don't know. Is it me or you? Is you?
It's you two. You for two.
Okay. I am going to take... I can't decide which catcher I want from this year. I feel like one of them needs to go here. Maybe both of them. I'm going to take Tyler Flowers.
2016 Flowers, who has yet to hit a home run. But I think that's a good pick. When he makes contact, it goes far.
Yeah. And after that...
I know. I would have made the same pick. I would be worried about AJ because I feel like warning track power may be what he has.
Yeah. But that's what everybody has at this point. I feel like... I'm trying to think... Man, he's got a hard fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. Oh, you know what? Let's go Kelly Johnson.
Kelly Johnson off the 16 Braves. Kelly.
I like that. I thought about that earlier.
Johnson.
I'd forgotten.
Okay, I'm going to take... I need to just double check on this guy and make sure.
There's nobody else on the 83 Braves that I would feel comfortable with. They're all worse than Kelly Johnson at hitting home runs, I think.
Oh, you're going to hate me for this one. You're just going to hate me for it. This is like my Francoeur pick. I'm going to take 23-year-old third baseman from the 1970 Braves, Darrell Evans, who hit zero home runs that year, but of course he would go on to hit many home runs.
Yeah, so that's
Howdy Doody himself would, beginning in 1971, he hit 12 homers, then 19, then hit 41 in 1973. So he's clearly a guy with power. And he only batted 52 times in 1970. And he was 23-year-old.
Right.
Okay, so that's going to be my first pick. I'm scouring the bottom of these lists for, like...
Yeah.
See, Earl Williams had a big year, like, the next year. 21-year-old Dusty Baker, maybe? let's see. Maybe. Look at that 83 Braves, though, that bench, and that's just, that is a depressing looking bench.
Well, I was like, look at Glenn Hubbard, who was like fourth in that team at home runs. He's not good at hitting home runs.
Yeah, Brooke Jacoby was on that Braves team. He had a 30 homer season in the 80s. Is there anybody on this? I really want to pick at least another 2016 player, but they just have, I have no confidence in any of these hitters to give deep. I'm going with I could go Tommy Aaron, Hank's brother. Tommy Aaron was on that team. I guess I'll go with 21-year-old outfielder Dusty Baker off the 1970 Braves.
I'm like leaning toward 1970 Phil Niekro at this point.
Jim Nash had two homers for the Braves that year. He's a pitcher.
Phil Niekro hit two the year before, one the year after.
Yeah. Hey, that'd be a fun way to finish this off. Or with like Hoyt Wilhelm, the closer off the 70 Braves. We like to hit more home runs than the 2016 Braves.
So I have to do at least one more. It's going to be one more.
Yeah. I'm looking up Hoyt Wilhelm. He hit one home run in his career. Hoyt Wilhelm did.
Wow.
As a rookie.
That's one more than I thought it would be.
Did he homer in his first at bat, maybe?
Oh, did he?
Or first something. Game logs 1950. I'll find this. His first hit was a homer. And it may have been his first at bat. It was in his first game he ever batted in. I did not expect when we started this podcast to be looking at the play-by-play data from an April 23rd, 1952 game between the Braves and Giants, looking for the Giants pitcher and how he hit in that game. It's in the bottom of the fourth. Did he bat it already? No, first career at bat. Hoyt Wilhelm.
I'm picking Hoyt Wilhelm. Picking really old Hoyt Wilhelm.
He had homered in his first at, he homered in his first at bat. And he went on to play. So he did that in 1952. He homered in his very first at bat. No, it was in 53, I think I said. No, it was in 52. He homered in his first at bat in 1952 and went on to play 1,070 games as a pitcher and never homered again. That's pretty fantastic.
Got 228 saves, 143 wins. I'm still taking him.
You taking him?
Hell yeah.
Point. Wilhelm.
I was about to take Phil Niekro. I was literally getting close to taking 1970 ornery old Phil Niekro.
I mean, you could have taken, since you have 70 Aaron, you could have paired him up with 83 me, who was a baby. Like an infant. And I'm pretty sure me as an infant and Hank Aaron together could beat anybody off the 2016 Braves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, all right, so we finished up with Hoyt Wilhelm. So, you hear that? Nick Markakis? Got more confidence in Hoyt Wilhelm with 10 swings of the bat. 17 years into his career.
Didn't get to see enough pitches.
To launch a home run. I mean, I thought, you know who else would have been the next pick off 2016 might have been Hector Oliveira.
Yeah.
Or Drew Stubbs.
Or AJ, one of them.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Nope. Yeah, well, so that'll be something.
Wilhelm just died like 10 years ago.
Did he die?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, yeah.
He was
47 years old in 1970.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And he pitched three more years. No, two more years. 71 and 72.
Yeah, went to L.A., retired to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Jeez. That is incredible. Yeah.
Got one World Series.
I feel like I could pick just some random relief pitcher off the 70 Braves and they may have a better chance of hitting a home run than, like, Eric Ibar.
Like, he was an all-star in 1970. Hoyt Wilhelm was. At 47.
Yeah. I like picked the guy at the bottom, Aubrey Gatewood, who... Yeah.
Better chance than Daniel Castro.
Larry Jaster.
Hitting one out.
I did not make that name up. Gary Niebuyer. Niebauer.
Floyd Brickhaven. That's made up.
Make that baby. Now you pitched for 83. Yeah.
Floyd Brickhaven.
Pete Falcone did, though.
Pete Falcone.
Matt Sinatra was a catcher.
Sinatra?
Sinatra. Oh, Tony Brizzolara pitched for the 1983 Braves. This is what the 2016 Braves have reduced us to.
It's just, just naming names.
Looking up old bad teams and finding players off them that would have fit in. Except 83, we finished second in the West and we won 88 games. So, you know, that's just crack for all you home runs aren't everything people. Then that they're, you know, that's true. They're not. But boy, we could use something, and home runs are something.
Yeah, I need Freeman to break out of whatever funk he's in.
Yeah. Tony Brizzolara. That is a name I'd never heard before. When it comes to 80s Braves, it's kind of, I don't know, I've at least heard almost all these names before. But not Tony Brizzolara or Matt Sinatra.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that does it. Oh, we'll look at the week ahead. We've got, hang on,
let me... 4 with the Red Sox and 3 with...
Braves schedule. Yeah, who we got this weekend?
The Giants?
I'm about to answer that. Oh, we are in Wrigley Field.
That's right.
This weekend. All right, so we got 2 against the Red Sox in Atlanta today and tomorrow. Julio Teheran against Rick Porcello. Matt Whistler against David Price. Ooh, David Price pitching Tuesday night at Turner Field. Check it out.
Yeah, we
fine. Then Wednesday at Fenway, it'll be Bud Norris against Stephen Wright, I believe. It's a new pitcher. I don't know much about him. Thursday will be Julius Chassin against Clay Buchholz. Friday, the starters aren't announced, but Aaron Blair, maybe Friday night?
Yeah, should be.
Against some Cubs pitcher?
They've moved Freddie Freeman down to 6 in the lineup today. Right behind AJ and Jeff Francoeur.
I feel like that's completely unnecessary. I feel like he needs more at bats, not fewer. And he doesn't need
Jeff Francoeur in front of him.
No,
put Jace Peterson behind him.
Put him like, second.
God.
Yeah, just tell him to calm down. You don't have to be the big run producer in this game. Just calm down.
I think he's pretty calm. I think he's just. It's, I mean,
more
he's
swings.
He's 177. I mean, if he had gotten like 3 more hits in the past 2 weeks, he'd be fine. Nobody'd be talking about it. You
right.
know what I mean?
He'd be like 230 or something.
Right.
That's, yeah, single hits still go a long way in April.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true. I shouldn't have said calm down because I don't know his demeanor, and I would not guess that he is uncalm. But at the same time, if you want to do something, if you want to make a lineup change to help him, put him up. Put him second to get him more at bats. Get him extra swings, because he's not gonna. There's going to be a point that he breaks out of this, because we know he will. Or we think we're confident that he will.
Yes,
and that's going to come. It's either going to come, you know, 1 at bat from now, or it's going to come 5 at bats from now, or it's going to come 50 at bats from now. But whenever it comes, you want that at bat to be as soon as possible. So right. Put him higher in the order, and you get to that point where it clicks back really well for him.
Right.
Because even though he wouldn't, it wouldn't be a big deal if 3 more hits would have fallen in. At the same time, he still hasn't been good.
Right.
Like even that would be
right, he's still bad.
But it just wouldn't be horrible. So what's the lineup today look like? Oh, it's Markakis, Castro.
Garcia's
third. Przinski.
AJ again.
Teheran's, though, I don't mind Przinski starting when Teheran's pitching as much, I guess.
I just want Tyler to start more.
Yes, I do too. Francoeur. See, okay, this is what I don't. Why is Jeff Francoeur starting a game when AJ Przinski is starting the game?
Right.
Like, if. Because Francoeur needs to be hitting lefties.
Yeah.
And Przinski needs to never see lefties.
Yeah.
And
the issue here is that Porcello's righty, so it's more of a question of
Francoeur instead of.
Well, see, the thing is, Stubbs is a righty.
Yeah.
It'd have to be Jace Peterson. Kelly Johnson.
Peterson's playing. Johnson
in
left field.
But Kelly Johnson in left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems odd.
It does.
Freeman is sandwiched between Francoeur and Jace, and then
it's not a good spot, man.
No, Malik. There's just not much to like about this lineup, but
there's not much to like about any lineup that Freeman and Zalz could put together.
Porcello is at least the type of pitcher who can, I don't know, I've seen him melt down at times, so.
He's got a really high ERA before I close the computer, but high ERA, even though he's one of them. He's 3-0, 4-0, something like that.
Yeah, I think you want high contact guys against him because he gives, I think, lots of hits on balls in play. So,
you know, Francoeur, AJ.
We're trying to talk about how to win this game. And yeah. I don't know. I think strategy discussions on teams like this are way more interesting than strategy discussions.
They are.
It's like, what if we sat down and tried to talk about strategy for the 03 lineup, the 2003 Braves?
Doesn't matter where you put anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Bat the pitcher 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
And put everyone else in whatever order you want, and that team's going to score a ton of runs.
Yes.
But.
Yeah, this team.
This team is way more fun to discuss. And way less fun to watch.
And probably the team that Bobby Cox actually like fully deserved his Manager of the Year award on was 05. Because that was a ton of just like plug and play kind of guys. Just kind of figure out where they go, put them in there.
Yeah.
It was one of the most fun seasons I've had watching the Braves was 05.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it, Braves fans. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or whatever your podcasting app of choice is. You can read us at outfieldflyrule.com for, you know, whenever content goes up there. You can like the Facebook page, Outfield Fly Rule, or you can join the Facebook group. They're separate. Outfield Fly Rule is the name of both. And tweet us, like us, contact us, let us know what you like, what you don't like. Let us know who you would have taken in the home run derby draft.
Yeah. Who did we leave out of that one?
Maybe you. You, the listener.
Right. There's a chance you're better.
There's a chance. I would take you over, you know, probably several guys starting in today's lineup. Right. So. All right. Well, thanks. And until next time, go Braves.
Go Braves.
Oh, the bases were empty on the diamond of my heart when the coach called me up to the plate. I'd been swinging and missing and loving and kissing. My average was .88. So I spit on my hands, knocked the dirt from my spikes, and pointed right towards center field. This time I'm hitting